You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
We're in a really amazing time in church history, and the big shift that's happened really for the last 500 years, but especially in our generation, and maybe started in the generation before any of us was born, is the shift from being pulpit or platform-centered to being body of Christ-centered. So when Jesus divested himself, he didn't just do it to a handful of people who were always meant to just be equippers of the saints for the work of ministry. So preachers, pastors, prophets, apostles, evangelists. What did I forget? Teachers? Thank you. I felt like I jumbled them up and I couldn't remember. They were just always ever meant to be equippers of the people who do the real ministry, which is the body of Christ. So we're in a major shift, and it's like turning the Titanic to make the shift, where the whole purpose of a church gathering is not to hear the message or to sing the songs that the worship team has, but for us all to center around the fact that Jesus is alive and present when we gather. And one of the important tools for that is that we all grow in confidence in hearing the voice of God. And I'm amazed as I walk with people and I get to know people who have been in Christ for 10, 20, 30 years, that there's still like a shakiness about whether I know what God's voice sounds like, whether I know, is that him or is that me? I mean, how many of you have faced that? You get something stirring in you maybe during worship. Is that him? Is it me? Is it him? Is it me? How many do that? I'm raising my hand too, because I still do that sometimes. Was that me? Was that you? Because, and I'll share in a little bit, there's a good reason for that, because where the voice of God originates is not always out of heaven down to us. He's alive on the inside, right? So we'll talk about that in a little bit here. But we're really eager to be a different kind of gathering of church. And you may have noticed that the longer you've been with us, the more you know that we don't try to be like a program-based church, is where a group of people will put on a program every Sunday. I've been a part of some of that kind of ministry, and I don't want to berate that. It's good that you want to do ministry with excellence, that you want to teach in a way that engages, and you want to preach in a way that excites the heart to go and do something. But that's not what Jesus had in mind when he said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church." That would be, "Upon this rock I'll build my synagogue," a gathering place where people worship and focus on the Lord. To say I'm a part of the church, I'm a member of the body of Christ, is to say that I have equal access to the presence of God. I have the equal potential to hear the voice of God. I have equal anointing to do the will of God as anybody who has an official ministry, who has reverend or pastor or apostle in front of his name or her name. So that's where we're going. That's what we're after. We're being very intentional about this and being really deliberate about it and insisting that we don't shift back. Now, I've been at this for about 20 years with this mindset, and I've learned that even leaders who have that mindset will struggle, because it's like this gravitational pull to be pulpit-centered again. So even now, today I'm going to preach a message. And as we're in a season of shifting, a season of transitioning, you know, when you make a shift or a transition, you don't just destroy everything and start over. Even God doesn't do that. Do you know that? God never destroys everything and starts from scratch. On the seventh day he rested, everything that God's done since has been with the materials he created on those first 6 days, including people. So if the world became so evil, he had to destroy it with a flood, he kept a remnant behind and worked with what he'd already made. So that's all of us. We're a part of that. And so as we're making the shift, we'll still have teaching, we'll still have preaching. But I want you to know that what we're aiming to do as a body is involve all of us when we gather together. So there'll be more and more of that kind of ministry as we go, and I'll continue to exhort about it till we get it stirred up, until we're all activated. So my goal for you, our goal as elders, for all of us together, is for all of us to be fully engaged ministering the grace that we carry. Some of you may end up on a microphone exhorting the whole body. Some of you will minister one-on-one, but we're aiming for that. That's our goal all together. So let's talk today about, as we're becoming a people of his presence, as a people who are known as, hey, that's the place where God shows up when they get together. And we've had some awesome testimonies with this. People who walk through the doors and they're healed before we even start worshiping. People who come in here full of anxiety, full of like suicidal thoughts, who in the middle of worship, without anybody praying for them, God just meets them right where they're at. Those are the quiet testimonies. They maybe don't make it on a video somewhere, but that's what we want. We want Jesus to be glorified and people to be healed, people to be restored. Amen? So that's been happening. And now we want to really go after it because God's intention, how many of you know God could do it on his own? He could send angels to do this stuff. It would be a lot simpler that way because angels aren't up there going, wait, can you give me a confirmation of that before I speak? You know, God says, you know, go to that dangerous place. Wait, can I put a fleece out and you make it dry and, you know, the ground wet? And the angels don't do that. They just go and do it and they carry the power to do it. When God asks people to do it, we got all this other stuff going on. But if we're not clear about what God's voice is and how he sounds, how he moves on the inside of us and compels us to follow into something, because God's word always leads to some kind of action. God's word doesn't ever just come for the sake of, it may come in a sense of healing, it may come in the sense of restoration or giving us courage, but always there's a secondary purpose to that, which is to go and do something with it, to go and spread something somewhere with that. So knowing his voice is so important. So in the Old Testament, I love some of these stories in the Old Testament. Do you realize that everybody you read about in the book of Genesis, anybody who you hear it and it says God spoke to him, like God spoke to Abraham and said, do you realize that they all did that without a Bible? None of them had a reference point to read and say, oh, that sounds just like the scripture I read. None of them, Abraham especially, didn't even have an ancestral relationship to teach him how to hear God's voice or how to know. How do you know this is the one true God instead of one of these pagan gods that we worship? So they're amazing. They're like spiritual pioneers. But what blows me away is as you read Genesis, how confident they are that this was God speaking to me right now. Abraham was so confident that he heard the voice of God that he was willing to leave behind a wealthy estate. I mean, the man had 172 servants. That man had some money. And he had enough money to bring all of his servants and convince his wife, who was like, you talk about the unbeatable force meets the immovable object. Sarah was no woman to be trifled with. She's like the prototype for the strong Jewish grandmother. I mean, she was like, you don't mess with her. Sarah was strong. And Abraham managed to convince her, hey, God spoke to me. We're supposed to leave everything we've ever worked for and go someplace. I don't even know where we're going. God just said to go. Does that blow you away that Abraham was that confident? This was God. I know that it was him. This wasn't some zany idea I came up with because I was out in the sun too long. Yesterday, God spoke, and so we're abandoning everything we knew and going out into the unknown. And he did it with no roadmap. He did it with no Bible. He did it with no reference point whatsoever. How much more we who have Christ in us? How much more we who are new covenant? Abraham heard God's voice somehow externally like that. We have God in us. How much more should we be confident? That's God. And I'm not going to mess around with this whole maybe it's me, maybe it's God. No more fear, no more doubting, no more wondering. We're children of God. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. We're the place, if we're a temple of the Holy Spirit, we're the place where people go to find out what God's saying. That's what it means to be a priest. A priest is somebody who has access to God on behalf of somebody who has no access. So when the world's coming to us for answers, man, how about the last 2 weeks in our nation? Do you think there might have been one or two people looking for answers? Who can heal this incredible partisan divide? Who can bring us back from the brink of absolute anarchy, chaos? And if the church doesn't know confidently, yeah, we know how to hear God and therefore we'll have wisdom for the hour, then who will? So it's vitally important that we get confident. We know what God's voice sounds like. So here's what Jesus said. He said in John 10, this is the parable, the passage of the good shepherd. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who doesn't enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. But the one who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. So here's the first thing that we need to understand about hearing the voice of God. How many of you in this room are born again believers in Jesus Christ? Now, if you don't put your hand up because you're just one of those people who doesn't put your hand up when you're asked to, I'm going to start preaching the gospel to you. So, yeah, unfold your arms and lift your hand. Don't be ashamed, man, if you can't admit that in the church. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, it means you heard the voice of the Good Shepherd and you started following him. So is there anybody here who cannot hear the voice of God? See, I tricked you. I led you into that trap right there. You heard his voice. That's how you got born again in the first place. It's what the theologians call prevenient grace. God opened your ears so that you could hear and understand the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him. That's how we got here. So all of us can hear the voice of God. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. So you not only heard his voice to know this is the shepherd, but now we know his voice to follow him. All of life, every decision that's ever to be made, every place that we're to go, everything, every nuance of life's existence is all about following the Good Shepherd. Every decision we make concerning jobs and relationships and where we should live, all of those things have one thing in common. They're all about, how do I follow the Good Shepherd? How do I recognize his voice and follow him in this everyday journey of life? And better than that, how do I learn how to follow his voice in all the little thousand decisions I make every day? How do I involve the Good Shepherd in every last thing that I do? Because I hear his voice and I respond to it. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but they'll flee from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. Now here's the flip side of hearing the voice of God. We all also know when there's another voice speaking, when there's a voice in our mind, whether it's a voice that came up out of our own heart or a voice that came from the outside or a voice that came at us through a television set while we were watching the news or whatnot. We all know there's something in us that lets us know, hold on, careful, don't listen to that. There's something in us that responds. The only question is, will we listen to our own inner man? Will we recognize that that thing is real? I've got a reason why I'm saying, hey, there's something about this. I don't know in my mind or understand why in my mind yet, but there's something about that voice I just heard, something about that thought that just went through my mind that lets me know it didn't originate with my father. So we have this. This is what it means to be a child of God. So our ability to hear God's voice is part of the package. It's just an ordinary, everyday part of the package. It's not for some small group of prophets or small group of pastors and preachers and teachers. There's not this elite spiritual force, like spiritual Delta force, and they can hear the voice of God, and then they tell us what God said. That, man, that is... that's not even old covenant. That's like before the old covenant. That's what Israel did when they said, nah, Moses, you tell us what God said. When God said, I want to talk to you. So we're going to reject that because children know the voice of their father. My father's name is Norman Blair. I lived 18 years in his house till I left for college. I heard my dad's voice every day during those 18 years. If my father was in a crowded room right now, all of you were talking, my father was in the middle, I could close my eyes, move my ear around, say, there's my father's over there, and I could recognize his voice. Why? Because I've lived with the man. I know what his voice sounds like. So we are children of God. We're all born from the same father. Therefore, we have something in us that recognizes the voice of our father. If we want to hear his voice, we will. We're going to talk in a few minutes about some obstacles to hearing the voice of God, some things that can get in the way of that. But let me just reinforce some of this to you and I guess really prove to us that I'm right about this because it's in the Bible. So if you're sitting there and whether in your mind or in your heart, you're saying, yeah, but some people hear him better than I do. I want to try to cast that down as deep as I could bury it in the ground for you because there is nobody in Christ who's wired differently to hear God better than somebody else. I said there is nobody in the body of Christ who's wired differently than somebody else to hear God better than anyone else in the body. Now, how we manifest hearing the voice of God, they're different graces, they're different gifts. But as far as hearing and knowing what God's saying, none of us has an advantage over another. So John, in 1 John, he was writing a letter to a church or maybe a group of churches that he had a relationship with. And there was a group of heretics who were preaching a false gospel called Gnosticism. That doesn't matter what that's all about. But they were trying to draw people away from the simple gospel that John had taught them, that you get baptized into Christ, you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have something on the inside of you now that's your course in life. You have the law of God written on your hearts, that you don't have to read something or go somewhere, that you actually can know on your inside. So these other teachers are saying, no, you have to have some elite knowledge and then you'll get closer to God. And there's some people who understand God better, and you need the ministry of us, we teachers, or else you won't fully understand God. That is an amazing thing, because this happened 2,000 years ago, and there's still teachers who lead that way today. Like, come to me and I'll explain things to you, because man, without me, without my ministry, which you can give at 1-800 over there, you'll never know what God says. Just dial in and I'll prophesy to you and I'll tell you what God says to you. There's a lot of, it hasn't gone away. But this genuine father in the Lord named John the Apostle, who had been with Jesus, wrote to the people of God. He said, you know what, guys? You don't need that. You don't need that. You have an anointing from the Holy One. And you all know. I'm not writing to you because you don't know the truth, and I'm going to inform you of the truth. I'm writing to you because you do know it, and you know that nothing that's a lie is of the truth. In other words, John's saying, I'm not writing this letter to tell you anything you don't already know. 1 John, all of the chapters in it, John's saying, look, guys, I'm writing to you because somebody managed to trick you into believing that you don't know the truth in your heart. That somehow you don't know the voice of your shepherd. Somehow you don't understand the God who wrote his law all over your heart. And I said, I'm writing to you to reinforce that, yeah, you do. I'm writing to give you courage to say, you know what? That's a lie. That what these guys are teaching, that's not Jesus. That's some whacked out thing from pagan wherever. That's what they were doing. We have other voices that try to communicate to us. And I want to give you the same courage that John gave those believers and say, you do know what God sounds like. You absolutely know what the truth is in your heart. You know a lie when you hear it, and you know the truth when you hear it. You just need some courage and need some confidence that you're not some second-class citizen in the kingdom of heaven. That you've been called because you heard the voice of the Father directly. He goes on then in verse 27. He says, as for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you. The word anointing, by the way, is the word Christon. Same word where we get Christ. So this is just another way of saying you have Christ in you. So you have an anointing in you because Christ is in you. The anointed one is in you. He now occupies your inner man, that knower, the inner knower. You know, when you say, I know it in my knower, do you guys ever say that expression? Around here, I just know it. I don't know why I know it. I just know it. I know it so deep that I would die for it. That's how much I know it. I maybe can't explain it in my mind to you quite like may satisfy you, but I know there's some things and I just know that I know. How do you know that? Because I know. That's it. Why? Because I have something living in me, someone living in me who leads me into all truth. He abides in you, so you don't need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things. Christ in you teaches you about everything. It's true. It's not a lie. Just as it's taught you, you abide in him. So the first thing for us to understand, how do we become those who absolutely know what God's saying? How do we become someone who's confident? This is God who's speaking right now. We abide in him. We live in him. I've shared this with you. I've sat with hundreds of people over the years who are confused or lost or in a season of, you know, whatever. The life's falling apart. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. And always my first question will be, tell me what your day-to-day life with Jesus is like. That's always my first question, because God help you if you think I'm your answer, man. You're more desperate than you know. I did say that to be funny. You're all like, yeah, we knew that. You don't need anybody for answers like that. So my first question is always, tell me what you're doing with Jesus. And 99 times out of 100, something of the sort, oh, it's not quite where I want it to be. Or, you know, it's not really where I want to be living. Or I haven't really, when was the last time you really took time to pray and actually seek God? How many of you know if it takes you that long to remember, it's been a long time? And that's usually the answer. And I'm not saying that to bring anybody under condemnation, but if we wonder why we're not confident about hearing God's voice, that's the number one answer. I haven't been spending time with Him. I haven't been relating with Him enough to grow in confidence, to test in real life. You know, I thought I heard God say to do this, but I never did it. Well, how will you ever be confirmed that that was God? But if you say, hey, God told me to do this, and you do it, and you see some supernatural result, you see that God moves in some way, or you get a peace about it when you go, your heart just got confirmed that, hey, you know what God sounds like. You just responded to that voice, you did something, and you got a result. Even if it was just, hey, I feel a peace in my heart, I feel like I'm free right now. God's prompting you to go and restore that relationship that's broken. You go and try to restore that relationship, it's broken, and they cuss at you. But somehow you walk away with a peace in your heart. Why? Because you responded to the voice of God, and something in you gets excited about, I know what God sounds like. The converse is also true. When we fail to respond to God's voice, it starts sounding like, you know, all the adults in the Charlie Brown cartoons? It started, womp, 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 womp. And we can actually do that to the Holy Spirit. Did you know you could do that to the Holy Spirit? How do you think Pharisees crucified Jesus? They got so hard and so distant from God that when He came in the flesh, they didn't recognize Him. And when He spoke truth to them, they got so mad at Him, they put Him on a cross. I'm not suggesting any of us would go that far from God, but I'm just saying they're living at a distance. So the first key to hearing God is to abide in Him, to learn how to live in Him. If we can't hear Him, it's usually because we're not seeking to live closely with Him. So that might be all you needed to hear today. So you're like, great, so wrap it up and let's go. That might be all you needed to hear today. Get closer to the Lord. How do you get closer to Him? Spend time with Him. Read His Word. Sit quietly and pray and listen when you pray. You might need some outside help. If you're really, really stuck, you might need some encouragement. We need one another.